Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Hebrews chapter 1.
By the way, again, this is a quotation from Psalm 45. Again, he always takes them to the Hebrew scripture, to the Tanakh, to show them that whatever he's saying is based upon scripture. And what about the divine nature? Is Jesus God or no? Well, that is important. You know what? I don't believe anybody can be saved. I don't believe anybody can be saved unless he or she understands that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is God. You cannot be saved without acknowledging the deity of the Messiah. It is so sad to hear people talk about Jesus this and all kind of expression about the Lord Jesus. But when you ask them, do you believe that Yeshua, the Jesus, the Lord Jesus is divine? They say, oh, no. He's a great angel, you see. He's a great creature. God have created him at a certain point in time in history. Some even believe that he is Michael the angel, the Jehovah Witness, the Mormons. I don't know if you have those people who knock at your door and they're going to tell you everything about the future. They have everything, all kind of information. But the moment you ask them the simple Aleph Bet, as we say it in Hebrew, the ABC, do you believe that Yeshua is God? Oh, no, they say. Well, my Bible teaches us, that God, the Father, call him God. Thy throne, O God, is for how long? Is forever and ever. It's not a temporary throne. It's forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. He is divine. The whole New Testament is filled with this expression. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is divine. Colossians 3 tells us, verse 15, that he is divine. We read verse 15, 16, and other passages teaches us of his divine nature. He is God. You remember Thomas in John chapter 20? Thomas was not at the upper room after the resurrection of the Messiah. He was not at the upper room. And everybody told him, you know, we have seen the Lord. And he says, I will not going to believe until I thrust my hand into his side. And the following week came, we read in John chapter 20, the following week came to pass, and we find out that the Lord had appeared to Thomas. And you notice the expression that Thomas is using there in this chapter. Thomas said to him in verse 28, he says, my Lord and my God. That's what Thomas is saying. When Thomas realized that this was the one, the Messiah, that died once and was buried in resurrection and appeared to the disciples in the upper room, he was amazed and he recognized that Yeshua is the Messiah. That's why he said to him, my Lord and my God. There's another verse that I need to read in 1 John. Again, it is John who speaks about it. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 we read, and we know that the Son of God has come, and that he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah. This is the true God and eternal life. For me, when I have heard about the fact that the Lord Jesus is a divine person, it really changed my whole perspective with regard to the knowledge of salvation, to the truth of salvation. I realize now Now I can see that I can trust in him, because only God can save. Man cannot save. Angel cannot save. The best of us cannot save. Only God can become my Savior. And he sure did. When God became a man, he was born to a virgin, Miriam, the Hebrew virgin. There was no sin in him at all, because he was born in a supernatural way. The Holy Spirit of God had placed in the womb of this woman by the name of Miriam, that person, that seed that brought forth this man into this world. Not only a perfect man, but the eternal Son of God enter into this world in a human flesh. And that is an amazing truth to grasp. So, Hebrews, the writer say, why I want you to continue on following the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, the Messiah. I know you are being persecuted. I know I'm part of you. I know the experiences that you go through. But I'm telling you that there is no answer other than the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. He is superior than the angels, in that he has a better name than them. He is being worshipped, he is served, and he is divine. He is God. Even though you get discouraged from your families, your brethren, even though you see the sacrificial system continue on, and the sacrifices are being offered at the temple in Jerusalem, Hebrew believers in Yeshua, the Messiah, move on. Continue on. That's the promised Messiah that our forefathers have spoken about. He came. Even the rest of the nation haven't accepted him. Yet you move on. Trust him. Follow him. Continue on. Even in spite of rejection, misunderstanding, and persecution. Now he continued, beloved. A couple more points here. We have in the next verse, in verse 10. In verse 10, he takes them to Psalm 102, and in verse 10, he shows them that he is the creator, while the angels are only creatures. You know that the angels have been created by God, but he is the creator. He says in verse 10, Thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. You see, Yeshua is the one that have laid the foundation of this earth. That's the man that you and I are occupied with. He is the creator God who have made heaven and earth. He have laid down the foundation of this earth. The heavens are the works of his hand. By the way, we can take other verses in connection, New Testament passages in connection with it. Colossians 1 and John 1. Those passages from the New Testament establish the fact that he is the creator. But the psalmist already have told us, he has laid the foundation of this earth, and the heavens are the works of his hand. You see, heaven and earth, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and this earth. Well, both of them is the work of his hands. He has spoken a word and everything came to pass. He is the creator. And as a creator, we've discussed this before, he made us, he made men, he made the human race. In Acts, we mentioned before, in him we move and live and have our being. He's a creator. He gives us breath, gives us life. The world that we live in, this beautiful world that we live in, the trees, all the planets, and all what we have in this world is his own creation. He has given to us to enjoy. He's the creator. Why should we worship or be occupied with a creature when we can be occupied with the creator? And that's why he's telling those Hebrew believers, encouraging them, that Yeshua is truly not only that he has a better name, he's being worshipped, he's being served, he's God, but he's also the creator of heaven and earth. The heaven is the work of his hand, and he laid the foundation of this earth. Nothing was done without him. Nothing was done without his word. And then there's a few more things that he's telling them now in verses 11 and 12. You know, they were troubled on every hand. They were persecuted, those early Jewish believers. They had a lot of pressure. And then he's telling them now in the next verses, verses 11 and 12, that he is unchanging person. Look at this. He's saying now in verse 11 and 12, speaking about the heaven and earth, they shall perish, but you remain. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Here's another encouraging passage to these Hebrew believers. He says, you know what, brethren? Everything changes here in this world, but he changes not. Everything falls apart. Even the heavens and the earth, which you and I enjoy today, he says, they shall perish. But God, but the Son, but the Messiah remain the same. Don't you feel that, brothers and sisters, in your life? There are some days that we are up on a mountain, but there are other days that we are down in the valley. Some days we are going for God, we're going to be good, we're going to live a good life, live for the Lord. And other days we are so far from where we should be. We made commitments and promises, and we said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to keep that. And then things change, and we change. But he never changed. He never changes. The same writer later on going to tell them in chapter 13, Yeshua the Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know when sometime our relationship with the Lord is growing dull? Do you know the person that moved is not the Lord, but it's always us? Always sin that come into our lives, disobedience that come into our lives, selfishness that come into our lives, or that we allow to get the control over our lives. We change, but he never changed. Never changes. The last book of the Old Testament scripture, the Tanakh, in the book of Malachi. Let me read this to you. Malachi chapter 3. Almost the last part of the Tanakh. We read about the promise of God. Look at this. Chapter 3. Malachi 3. We read this in verse 6. I am the Lord. I change not, God said to his people Israel. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, God is unchanging. And if he would change, Jacob will be totally consumed. Do you know if the Lord Jesus the Messiah will change, the church will be totally consumed. Because of the failure and the sin that come into our lives. The disobedience, the change that is going through our lives. We are not steady as we should be. But he's telling those Hebrews, you know, beloved brethren, he's saying to them, he says, the heavens will perish. The earth will perish. Everything will wax old like garment. You know, garment, clothes that we wear it again and again and again and again, and after a while it gets old. It's wrinkled, it's not nice anymore, it's not clean anymore. You washed it so many times, and it's at the end you have to cast this away. That's what happened to this world. Look at the world in which we live in. Look at the fact that it's like a garment that's been used and used and used and many times abused by us. But he says, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. When things go wrong and bad in our lives, it's such a comfort to to know that we can always trust the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. We can always lean on Him. He never changes. He's remaining the same. His love for us, His love for those Hebrew believers in first century, never changed. He loved them when they were persecuted and troubled on every hand. His love towards them never changed. I know sometimes we feel like He loves us less when we have problems in our lives. But I tell you, beloved brothers and sisters, on the basis of the Word of God, that His love towards us never changes one bit because of His person. He never changed. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the beauty of the love of God. We read in the prophet of Israel that I have loved you, Jeremiah, with an everlasting love. His love to Israel can never change. Never change. And what about the love for the church? For the Messiah loved the church and gave Himself for her. The love for the believers in this present day have never changed because of the person that He is. Everything changes, but He remaineth the same. And you notice why we compare it to the angels? Do you know why? Do you remember what happened? When the angels have been created, they have been created to serve God. But you know what happened? Even Lucifer, that had been a privileged angel, he was not satisfied with this place. He wanted to get a higher position. He wanted to dethrone God and to place himself to be as God. And God cast him down. And then there were angels who'd follow after him, which we call them today demons. You read it in the book of Revelation. 1/3 of the angelic being followed after the serpent, after Satan, and became what is known today as demons. They changed. They change, but He never changes. He remaineth the same. Now quickly, let's go down to the next verse, in verse 13. We are just about at the end of chapter 1. In verse 13, again He emphasized the fact that Yeshua is superior than the angels in the fact that He had finished His work and He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Notice, verse 13. But to which of the angels, He had said, at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Do you know, He again quoting Old Testament scripture, the Tanakh, is quoting Psalm 110, and verse 1, where it says, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. He sat down. He finished the work. See, the angels, they have to work. They have to serve. They have to continue to minister. They have to do the bidding of God. That's their job. That's their service. But Him, He finished the work when He died for us on the tree. That's why He says to none of these angels He ever said to Him, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. To the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, He said, sit down. And why it is important here the word sit down? And I told you this before. Why is it so important to these Hebrews? See, a person in North America or any place in the world, they will never understand the importance of sitting down. Why? Because the Jewish people, to whom God had given the tabernacle and the temple, every time that they have gone to the temple or the tabernacle, throughout the history, they never found a chair there. There is no seat in the tabernacle. There was no seat in the temple. But He sat down. How could He sit down? A person that sits down, like when I'm going to do something, when I'm going to finish here, I'm going to sit down. A person that sit down is a person that finished something to do. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, finished the work on the cross. You remember Matthew chapter 27 and John chapter 19? He says, it is finished. He yielded up the spirit, gave up the spirit. And he finished the work. It is finished. John 17, Yeshua said, Father, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with the glory which I had with you before the foundation of the world. He finished the work. That means that our salvation is secure. Our sins have been dealt with once and for all. We are not getting saved one day and getting lost the other day. We are saved for sure, forever, throughout eternity, because He finished the work on the cross, on the tree. And that's why it says, sit down on my right hand. Until when? Well, until I make your enemies your footstool. There are many enemies that oppose the work of the Lord. They say, we will not have this man to rule over us. We don't want him as our Lord. We don't want him as our Savior. And God says, wait for the day that all your enemies are going to be underneath your foot. And there's coming a day when those who will reject the Messiah will have to recognize who he is. The Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, is the one that is sitting down. And he has many enemies that eventually will have to be under his foot soon at his coming. And then he closes this chapter by saying to us about these angels. Angels are ministers to the ones that are heirs of salvation. You notice the last verse of this chapter. For, or are they, that is the angels, are they not all ministering spirits? For who? Why? To whom? Well, it says, sent forth, they are sent forth by God to minister to who? To them, or for them who shall be heirs of salvation. You see, the angels have been sent by God to minister to the people of God. They are ministers. They are servants. They are to minister to the people of God. Now, there are four things. You can write these verses in your own Bible or on a piece of paper. There are four things that angels do as ministers. The first thing they do, you find it in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 6. Angels observe what we say. Do you know that angels know what we are saying and they observe what we say? If you say something bad about another, they observe. They know that. They see. They watch you. They watch us. The Lord watches us also. But he says here, if you read in the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find that angels observe what we say. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6. I read this verse. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hand? Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say you before the angel. It's an Old Testament passage, Ecclesiastes 5. Be careful what you say, because angels listen to what you say. They are not God. They are not superior than the Lord, because the Lord is superior than them. But they are servants who minister to God, and they observe what we say. The next thing, in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 9, angels observe us when we suffer. Do you know that? That when we go through sufferings and trials in our lives, they observe, they see that. They're servants of God. They're observing the sufferings that a person may go through. They observe, and God may use them to do something for the benefit of the people of God. Again, another thing, angels observe what we wear. Do you know that in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 10, the woman in assembly is called to cover her head. Why? You read it, ladies, read it in 1 Corinthians 11. It's not what I say. It says it for the angels' sake. Why? Because there is order in creation. God has set an order in creation. God, the Messiah, the man, the woman, not because the man is better, but the woman is to cover her head, and the head is the man, is her head. And we, the men, our head is Christ, and we are to uncover our head because Christ, the Messiah, is to be revealed. We are not to be revealed. That's why the woman covers her head. But the Messiah is to be revealed. That's why man is not to cover his head. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 10. And finally, angels observe and serve by escorting believers to heaven. You know that? In Luke 16 we read, when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels. When the rich man died, we don't read that he was carried by an angel. Luke 16, you read it. Lazarus, when he died, he was carried by the angels. Angels are ministering spirits, as we have here in verse 14. They are to minister to those that are going to be the heirs of salvation. This is the believers. But how great the angels are, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, is superior than they because he has a more excellent name. He is worshipped, he is served, he is God, he is a creator, he is unchanging, he is the same, and he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we are going to worship him throughout eternity, and we better start here and now. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.